wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Antonio Brown appeared on a local Pittsburgh radio station and apologized to the entire franchise, Ben Roethlisberger, and anybody else for being a distraction. All right, great. I'm glad he's making amends. I've always said, listen, if there is a sincere apology coming, I would listen to it if I was one of the parties that was affected by it. You know, I think people deserve second chances and whatnot. But how much of this are you really buying? Quote, the unwanted attention I probably caused those guys to the fans and the organization. So obviously you want to clear out any baggage or disrespect or unintended attention that was brought on your organization. You know, these guys gave me the opportunity when I was 21 years old, and I'm forever grateful for those guys to not only have the opportunity to play with those guys, but to be in so many amazing moments. And we've been through so much. If it had worked out with the Oakland Raiders or the New England Patriots, I think he goes nowhere near this radio station to make this. I think there is a period of time where you are in the bottom, where you have to realize, you know what, I have hit this point where I got to start looking back on my life and figuring out who I did wrong and how do I get back into any sort of good PR spin. And maybe just going on this Pittsburgh station and saying how much I love the Berg and how much I like love the Steelers, how much these are my guys, and I screwed it up and I was a distraction in time where I didn't need to be or wasn't supposed to be a distraction. Remember, the Steelers let it, like, at the end of the season of 2018, they told Mike Tomlin told Antonio Brown to go home in midweek of practice, and Antonio Brown thought that meant never come back. So he didn't even show up for their final game of the year against the Bengals, a must-win game for the Steelers to try to have any shot of the postseason, which they ended up not making. Right? You want to talk about kind of a mess. Like, I remember being at the Super Bowl with Hines Ward talking to him, and we both, like, this team is a disaster. Like, we don't know where they're going. They've lost Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. Who knows where this team is heading? It's okay to want to make amends. I completely understand, and I'm willing to kind of, you know, I would be willing if I was the Steelers to go, yeah, it's okay. But at the same time, I'd also say, but let's not go overboard. You're still not welcome back in this marriage. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. We'll talk some more XFL next.
Is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. As we continue along, glad you could be with us here on a Friday. XFL coming up this weekend. 8 teams, 4 games. So, last year we did this with the AAF. Because Ron and I were, you know, we were all in on that. So why not go through the teams and determine, you know, our likes and dislikes of the new monikers for the 8 teams, all right? The Dallas franchise is based in Arlington. They're going to be playing at Globe Life Park in Arlington. Is that where the Rangers play? I think that's where the Rangers play. I don't know. Maybe.
That's good enough for Jerry's
wait a minute,
world.
Hold on. Let me check real quick. Yeah, it is the ballpark. Okay. It is the ballpark. Yeah.
At Arlington?
Not playing at AT&T Stadium.
No. Nope. They're playing the shadow of AT&T
Stadium.
That's
right. Bob Stoops is the head coach, and they are the Dallas Renegades. Not a bad team. Not a bad team
name.
Not a
good team name either.
Yeah, but not a great one.
Looking at the logo. The logo is weird.
Is it just a cowboy?
If you're a Star Wars nut, this logo looks like Bane.
Oh, yeah.
Cad
exactly.
Bane.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a masked cowboy with red eyes.
Yeah.
This football league is going to be better than anything you've ever seen.
That's basically right. Yeah, it's got that Bane look to it. Completely.
Bob Stoops, as I mentioned earlier, is the head coach. There's something going for it there. Houston Roughnecks. Now, that's not bad.
See,
given
that,
the oil,
I do like that one. Yeah, that tied in the community. I mean, Dallas Renegades. I mean, obviously, you can go Dallas Cowboys because, well, Jerry would kill you or have someone kill you.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, you could have gone any number of ways to, you know, go like Old West. I don't know Renegade really does that. But that's when you have the Houston Roughnecks. That actually makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. One, it taps into the old Oilers.
Right.
Two, it's the term that people who work on oil rigs have. It's a cool term.
And their logo is on par.
Exactly. It's a very cool logo. And it's got cool colors. It's got a navy blue, a red, and a gray. It's a little similar to the Texans, but it's nice. It's a very nice logo. That's a shirt I'd buy. I'd buy that shirt.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to be in Houston in March. Maybe I'll pick me up one.
Yeah.
Just to have one.
If they're still around in March.
I hope so. If they're still around.
That's the question that needs to be answered, right?
Exactly. It's not bad. I like that.
By the time you get here, is there a Houston Roughnecks to be getting?
True. Good point. All right. Here's one that just should have been thrown out immediately. I can't believe out of all your opportunity to build a team, your opportunity to create a name, and they went with Los Angeles Wildcats.
Yes.
All right. I don't care if this whole city is infested with Wildcats.
Wildcat is fierce.
God, that is, I mean, think of something else.
Yeah.
They literally went, we got to pick a name. Anybody? Well, my kid's school is Wildcats. Perfect. Put it on a logo and slap it to the office.
Yep. Send it in.
Send it in. It's all good. Really?
I mean, this is the one time where anything would have been better.
Right.
I mean, you could have been the Los Angeles Taco Trucks. That's a better name.
That's a better name than this?
I mean, first of all, the Wildcat, is that the most overused name in American sports?
If you're the Wildcats, you better be 100 years old.
Right.
As an organization, or 80 or something. You better go back to way, way back in the day. Like, if you're a college and you're the Wildcats, I get it if you were founded in, like, 1890. Great,
well,
perfect.
You know what?
But
if you're embarrassed of your school and your team mascot happened to be Wildcat, and somebody asks you, oh, what school did you go to? It's like, oh, I was a Wildcat.
That's true.
All of a sudden, you got credibility.
That's right.
Because
exactly.
There's about 80 Wildcat mascots out there.
Your chance to come up with something, and that's the best. Don't give me that it was a name the team contest, and this was drawn out of a hat.
No.
That's stupid. You would crumple that up. You'd pick another one. There's many, many, many ways you could have honored Los Angeles. Wildcats is not one of them.
The Los Angeles Traffic Jam. Infinite
right.
Better name than Wildcat.
They're going to be playing at Dignity Health Sports Park. That's what the Galaxy
Hey, the Chargers.
Is that where the Chargers play there too?
Oh, man.
Is that the name of it? It used to be StubHub Field, right?
I'm curious to know how many fans they bring in.
That'd be interesting. That'd be really, really interesting.
Okay, we got to call them Wildcat, right? Has the Wildcat learned that they're going to have home games this year?
Or road that's
games?
Right.
Road
that's
games
right.
At home.
Now, if I'm the Wildcats, okay, if I'm the PR people of the Wildcats, I take a picture on opening day of the crowd filled with the color, the logo, and the maybe somebody waving a flag. I'd give somebody a flag to wave. I would give merchandise away, and then
the
I would put it on Twitter.
The man who actually brings a Wildcat into the stadium.
Exactly.
Take a picture of him.
And post something like, football has really come back to Los Angeles, or something crazy like that. Just toll the Chargers.
Sick burn, dude.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Seattle Dragons.
You know what?
It's not bad.
I like it.
I like it.
I don't know
it's
why.
It's not bad. It's simple, but it's kind of cool.
I mean, it is a youth soccer team name.
Sure, sure.
You know, very much so. But
like the Cheetahs or the Piranhas.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, pick a badass animal and
don't come
throw
at
it out
me,
there.
Molly. I'm not making fun of that. Please don't.
No, Molly.
Don't take
Molly.
Your barbs at me, Molly.
Molly, youth soccer, we're allowed to make fun of.
Love it. My daughter played for years.
I coach it.
Yeah,
I'm
so
allowed
we're
to
good.
Make fun of it.
We're good.
My son's team name this year, both my sons played Predators and Tsunami.
That's awesome. Tsunami, not bad.
Tsunami was awesome.
Not
when,
bad.
When the kid came up with that, I'm like, you're going places, dude. You could name some XFL teams much better than the people who did.
Yeah, Seattle Dragons, navy blue, green, and orange.
Like
not bad.
It.
I like the logo.
Like
that's pretty
okay,
cool.
Okay, quick sidebar. NHL, the Seattle NHL team, are you liking the what's rumored to be Seattle Kraken? Are you liking that one?
That's not bad. I actually kind of dig it. It doesn't roll off the tongue like it probably should with the name.
My only question, why is Seattle just going mythical all
of
a sudden?
Yeah, I know. Dragons and Kraken.
Maybe Mariner is a mythical being.
That's right.
I have no idea anymore.
And is there really such thing as a Seahawk?
That's a good question.
Is that a real thing?
Is that a real mammal
or bird?
Can supersonic actually be achieved?
That's right.
I don't believe it can.
I don't believe it can.
And what really is a sounder?
That's true. Good point.
What is
and
a sound? Know,
that's
so
great.
So Seattle's
point.
Keeping with tradition, man.
That's
just
right.
Throw some names out there that don't exist.
Be kind of vague.
But very cool name.
Real quick, I just want to give props to my former intern, Maura Dooley. She is the sideline reporter for the Seattle Dragons.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I was really, really happy for her. She posted that the other day. She's going to be the sideline reporter for them. She was great, great intern. Really had real great potential in the business. And she's working up at Seattle, and she works for her John Clayton show, and now she's going to be the sideline reporter for the Dragons. So I was really proud.
Well, if you're going to do that, I got to give our props to our local station here in Houston.
Yeah.
Our sister station right down the hall, the Houston Roughnecks. They are the voice of the Houston Roughnecks.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Morning show host who actually was on our network station for a while, John Granato. We might have
absolutely.
To have him on at some point.
He is the
radio voice of the Houston Roughnecks.
Well done. Well done. Good for that. That's awesome. Good job. Yeah. DC Defenders, not terrible, but not good.
But you know what I like? I like the shield look.
Yeah, I do
the
too.
Logo because that kind of gives that Washington DC feel to it.
I would have added another color to this. This seems a little basic.
Just red
and white is a little basic. I would have thrown a little something else in there. I'm not a color coordinated guy, but I don't know.
It's as if they ran out of color ideas.
Yeah, the New York Guardians. Okay, I understand where they're going with the logo. If you go to New York City, there's like that. It looks like one of those gargoyles that are on the side of the buildings. So I understand what they're doing there.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, a little Ghostbusters. Not bad. The logo is just, I'm not a fan of gray logos. I don't know how you would have done it differently.
The only way this works is if they have gray numbers on gray uniforms.
Yeah, that's true. Kevin Gilbride is their head coach.
Nice.
That's great. These names are familiar.
The name and the logo, this is one that where I don't love it, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, not bad.
It's in that category.
They play at MetLife Stadium, so they're gonna get the whole NFL treatment.
Yeah.
St. Louis Battlehawks. Now,
fantastic.
I don't know what a Battlehawk is, but it sounds pretty awesome.
I would believe that a Seahawk is more real than a Battlehawk.
That's true. I would buy a Seahawk if I went to the ocean and I was like, oh my God, that looks just like the Seattle logo. That's an animal I can get behind. A Battlehawk. All right. I'm thinking there is no such creature as a Battlehawk. So they put a sword with wings.
Yeah.
Which is
you know
fine
what
by
I think?
Me.
I think there is a Battlehawk. I think it's in the He-Man universe.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Prince Adam.
Prince Adam.
I have the power.
Yep.
That's right.
I think didn't he ride a battle hawk at one point?
He rode a battle cat.
Well, I know he did that.
Oh, okay.
But at some point, maybe he rode a battle hawk.
Very true.
Maybe it was one of his buddies, like Tila or Man at Arms.
Man at Arms. Very good. Very good. Ram Man. Remember
Ram
him?
Ram Man.
That's right. Very good.
Yeah, we're
the
dorks.
Masters of the universe. That's right, we are. The final one, the Tampa Bay Vipers. It's not a bad
vicious
logo. Wish it was a snake, though, not just a V. Oh, no, it is. I'm sorry. It's fangs.
Oh,
I'm
it
sorry.
Is fangs.
I'm sorry. This is like the FedEx logo. Once you see it, you
can't
unsee
it anymore. Yep.
Now you can't see it. This is great.
It's almost like it's almost like a mouth.
Okay, this is cool. This is cool. It's like a mouth with the fangs, and it's a V. All right, I'm definitely getting a shirt for them.
Yeah.
All right, I'm definitely getting
one. Maybe a hat.
You know their coaches? Mark Trestman.
Okay.
Really? This is great. I feel like I know all these people.
They went out and went shopping.
They did. Mark Trestman, Kevin Gilbride, Pep Hamilton.
See, you know, at first when the Tampa Bay Vipers, I was going to say I hated it, but then you threw the fang thing out
there.
Yeah,
now I'm in.
Now it looks good. I can't see it.
Seattle Dragons, Tampa Bay Vipers, the Roughnecks in Houston. Those are the three shirts I'm going to probably want to get.
Yeah.
And that's good. Defenders, Nad. Guardians, okay. Wildcats, never.
Wildcats, you know what that is? That's a tattoo bet.
If
you lose your fantasy
that's
XFL
right.
league,
yep.
Which, by the way, are they doing a fantasy XFL league? That
I would
be
love
fun.
It. Why not?
That'd
sure.
be fun. Got to get on it right away, though, right?
And their logo is stupid. It doesn't even look like a Wildcat. It looks like something from 1952.
Is that A supposed to be a little tail?
Maybe so, but it's failed. It's failed
dumb.
Miserably. It's terrible.
It's everything about the LA Wildcats is dumb, and they'll probably win the championship.
All right, we have just given you the primer that you need for this weekend of the teams in the XFL, and don't say we never give you anything, because that was gold. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could join us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. It's O-Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings. Earn double O-Reward Bonus Points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O-Rewards member yet? Sign up today online or in the store and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Fast, easy, free, but hurry. Double points are only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So we found out there is fantasy football going on with the XFL.
Yeah.
How sweet is that?
I know. Already, get on it.
Cardale Jones is the top quarterback selection.
Cardale Jones is the top quarterback.
Who's the best running back in the league, did they say? The best fantasy pick for XFL football?
No, they got that too.
Who's that?
My computer's acting a little slow. That is, Christian Michael.
Not bad.
Couldn't Seattle have used him last year?
I think so.
Just, you know, throwing it out there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Cameron Artis Payne, number two.
Wow.
Running back. So.
Some names I know.
I don't remember this guy. Jarrell Presley out of New Mexico?
No, I don't remember him.
Let's see, I'm just looking at the bigger schools. Kenneth Farrow, I don't really remember him. Davion Smith out of Michigan.
All right.
So, I mean,
so
yeah,
you
so,
got...
there's some good ones. The quarterbacks, you mentioned Cardale Jones, number one. According to this, which was, I got to preface this, was done back in, it was done way back in January 30th.
Oh, that's a little too soon.
So it was done way back on January 30th of
like
this year.
Like a week and a half ago.
Because like you had mentioned, who's the starting quarterback for the Houston Roughnecks?
P.J. Tucker.
Yes. Here they have Connor Cook down as your number two overall quarterback.
Oh, who there you is go. The? P.J. Walker. I'm sorry, P.J. Yeah. Walker, not
but
Tucker.
Connor Cook is the predicted starter, I guess, for the Houston Roughnecks.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay.
But there's Matt McCloin.
Oh, I remember him.
Out of Penn State, Josh Johnson, who seems to be on every team.
Yeah.
Ever. Aaron Murray,
keeping up that dream.
Aaron Murray,
Georgia quarterback,
yeah, playing for the Vipers.
Not bad.
And Jordan Ta'amu out of Mississippi.
Oh, out of Mississippi. Temu? Jordan Ta'amu. Yeah, he was, for the Rebels. Played for Ole Miss.
Well, now he's a Battle Hawk.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, I mean, there's some. Landry Jones.
I remember Landry Jones. He's former Steeler backup quarterback.
Yeah, he's the.
Oklahoma State or Oklahoma?
Oklahoma. But I guess he's the backup to Philip Nelson.
Wow, jeez.
For the Dallas Renegades.
This is going to be neat. Might be fun, actually, this weekend. Yesterday, I watched the final installment of the 30 for 30 on Michael Vick's story.
I still haven't seen the first one. No spoilers,
really,
man.
Watch it, man. It's amazing. You know what?
Does he make it back into football, Tony?
Yes. Here's the great part of the story, all right? Is, okay, look, the first one was 2 hours of building up Vick's background, his college, getting into the NFL, what a phenomenon he was in the NFL. And then it kind of left you last... out of episode one with, okay, and then it's going to get really bad really quick with the dogfighting stuff. Part two is where you get the dogfighting stuff and going to prison, the court case, the split in the society of people who thought that the 23-month sentence was way too harsh and others who thought, like, he should be in prison for life. I mean, it really went into that. But the comeback of him coming into the NFL, the involvement of Tony Dungy in his life, Roger Goodell really feeling like he was contrite and sorryful for what he had done and getting him reinstated back into this league. And then he signed two $100 million contracts in his career.
He
had it with the Atlanta Falcons, and then Eagles gave him one with $40 million guaranteed.
Wow.
I know.
I didn't want to. I want to funk that.
And it came in a time where he was bankrupt. So he went to prison, and while he was in prison, he's basically bankrupt. He owed $50 million. He didn't have any money. There was a story where his wife and him said that he got out of prison. He was back at his house. They checked their bank account. He was $1,000 overdrawn. And he goes, I had millions of dollars just floating around in different accounts. And he goes, I had nothing. I was down to nothing. I was negative $1,000.
This is after his second $100 million?
No. This was the first, and he went to prison, then he came back. So he hadn't gotten into the league yet. He needed a break. So he gets – Donovan McNabb gives him a chance in Philadelphia, and Andy Reid is another one that's willing to take a gamble. There's protests outside. We kind of all remember that part where people were saying, Philadelphia, you're making a mistake. This is dumb. Don't do this. But he turns into a really good quarterback for them, and he gets a $100 million deal. Then he sort of as that's progressing, he sort of starts falling apart. He's getting old. He can't do the same things that he used to, and then he kind of goes to the Jets, and then he goes to the Steelers, and then he retires, and now he's an analyst. But his story is of this incredible arc of heights to greatness, falls down, he's in prison, and he goes right back up, and then he's sort of goes around now and talks about dogfighting and tries to get people out of that lifestyle. But there was a segment in there, and I know if you went into this documentary saying, listen, I hate Michael Vick forever for what he did to those dogs and what his friends and his partners did to those animals. I'll never forgive him for that. Then this will never sway you. But there was a segment in the documentary that really talked about the culture of dogfighting in his community growing up. Him and his friends growing up really saw that. They grew up around it. It was part of their lives. They didn't think anything of it. Now, obviously, he says, that's wrong. That's a wrong way to look at it. It was a wrong lifestyle choice. It was terrible. I should never have done that. But there was a period of this moment of talking about his background and going, what he believed at the time was just a way of life and just a way of just, that's what you did. Was pretty fascinating if you kind of went in it with a little open mind. Obviously, I hate that part of his story. I was screaming at him on the radio when that was going down. I mean, it was, I've joined the chorus of people that was like, condemn him forever, and he should never be back in the league, et cetera, et cetera. But, seeing his growth and his maturity and seeing how he is trying to really talk to people and talk to young people about that aspect of his life was refreshing. But it was... It's 4 hours. I mean, the two documentaries are 2 hours apiece. And so I don't know what it is after commercials and whatnot, but it's this really long story of rise, fall, back up again. And but it was really fascinating. I mean, you really remember how awesome he was when he played and how it really opened the door for like a Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes to sort of be types of players that teams could utilize. Because Vic really was the kind of quarterback that could flick it 60 yards on with a wrist and then run like the wind through defenses. He was one of the most dynamic and fun players I ever saw as an opponent coming in when I was covering the Broncos, just watching him just find openings and just whizzle right through it. And it was pretty spectacular. But it's a pretty good documentary. I recommend it. It's a little long, and I'm not going to lie to you. Some people just don't have the patience for those really long, drawn-out, kind of explanations.
Is it difficult to watch?
It's not difficult to watch. There is a period of time where you get a little angry when you realize what they did. Like, they show a video of this old man, and he's literally got a dog, and it's an old, grainy, like, 1980s video. It could have been from the 70s, or heck, it could have been from the 90s for all I know, but it looks very old. And they show it, and the old man is just talking to the dog, and he's talking about dogs that lose. Like, what do you do with dogs that lose? And he just says, I got a .22 pistol. I put it right here. I pulled the trigger. And you just look at the dog's face while he's doing that. And the dog's just looking up at him, wagging his tail. And you just want to break down. And you're like freaking out because you're like, he doesn't even know. The dog doesn't even, he's looking up excited. And the owner knows he'd pop him in the head if the dog lost. So there's a moment where you're like, really angry, and the people in the video in the documentary that went and dug up the dogs and saw the dogs in the shallow graves on his property, you could tell it still bothered them talking about it to this day, what they saw and how they saw it and how it affected them. It was there's a lot of emotion that goes through that segment of the documentary, but it is still pretty well done.
This is SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. So we're going to branch off a little bit. The Academy Awards are this weekend, and always a good time, especially if you venture to the movies and you've seen a number of these pictures, or seen a number of these performances, the annual tradition of nominations and awards. Brian Truitt joins us from USA Today to give us his thoughts on what we could see Sunday night out of Hollywood. How are you, Brian?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. All right. Real quick, before we get into the nominations and the people that may or may not win on Sunday night, just from your perspective as somebody who covers Hollywood, who covers the entertainment field, in 2020, where is the Academy Awards in terms of its popularity? Is it still a major event? The awards ceremonies seem to get bashed across the board, in no matter what industry. Is the Academy Awards still, though, a must-see event?
I think for a certain group of people, they always will be, because I think, you know, they want to see the red carpet, they want to see the dresses, what everybody's wearing, you know, who's going to win, that sort of thing. I think, I don't know if, like, the really hardcore movie nerds are watching as much because, you know, their film might not, you know, their indie film might not be in there, you know, somebody who was really into Uncut Gems might have been kind of, like, scorned because their movie wasn't in Best Picture. So I think for a mainstream audience, the Oscars are always going to be popular, but I think, you know, probably for like your really hardcore film people, they might be skipping it.
This is not my area of expertise, but I used to hear from people in the last couple of years where people will say, I don't watch those anymore. It's all political. It's the, you have to have the right picture or the right theme or the right message. I'm wondering, has that not always been the case with these kind of things? It's hard to think that it's just a recent phenomenon.
No, I mean, it kind of always has been around there. I mean, you have things like, you know, Paths of Glory, which was back, you know, decades ago, and it was like an anti-war film. You know, there's always been kind of like political films involved. You know, I think it's just right now, you know, kind of there is more attention paid to such things because it's part of our everyday life a little bit more, just because of the social media and cable news and everything. So everything seems like maybe a little bit more politicized. But I think it's always been a part of the Oscars. It's always been a part of, like, movie making.
All right, so let's get to the best pictures. There's, like, eight or nine nominations. Yeah. I saw six, which is really odd for me. I don't see many pictures that come out, but I've seen six. What's the favorite going in, and in your mind, what should win?
So I think 1917 probably has the best chance of winning because it kind of has the best resume. It won the Golden Globe for Drama, and also won important Producers Guild and Directors Guild awards. So that is, I mean, if there is a favorite, it's probably that. But the preferential ballot that the Oscars use for Best Picture kind of make it so that, you know, if you have a movie that's like has to get a lot of second and third vote on somebody's ballot, that has a chance of winning probably better sometimes than the number one for like less people. So I think something like Parasite has a chance too because of that, because a lot of people really like that film. In terms of me, I think I would give it to Josh and Jojo Rabbit because that was my favorite movie last year, and that kind of always stuck with me every time I watch it. So that's what I would give it to.
Yeah, I just saw Jojo Rabbit the other day. I loved it. I thought it was great. I think the kid was adorable. I thought he was. I'd never seen him in anything before, so I was pretty impressed with his acting ability. From a standpoint of the best pictures, is there a, because the thing about 1917 is they say it was shot in one take, and I don't know if that's how they did it or how, but does that add, like, if the story isn't awesome, which I'm sure it was. But does the technique of filming a movie, does that play into Best Picture, or does that have to go into another category?
No, I think with 1917, you have a lot of, I mean, it's up for a lot of technical awards, like, you know, special effects and sound editing, and, you know, it's up for a lot of technical awards. But I think what's really impressive about 1917 on many levels is it's a war movie, but it really isn't. You know, it's kind of like about the aftermath of war, and about like the paranoia of soldiers just trying, needing to get somewhere, and they're not knowing where the enemy is. And I think it is edited as one take, but it, you know, it obviously wasn't done as one take, but like it was edited so it looked like that. So you're spending like, you know, almost 2 hours of real time with these people, and I mean, as an audience member, you feel every bit of it. I mean, you kind of are on the journey with them. You feel like, you know, when they feel lost, you feel lost. And it's something that, like, it's one of my favorite movie-going experiences last year because it felt so visceral and you really cared about the characters, whereas, like, something like Dunkirk, where it kind of had the same kind of, like, let's put the audience in war, you didn't care about the characters as much, whereas this one, it's like, you know, there's a technical skill, but a lot of the emotional stuff, too.
Brian Truitt, USA Today, joins us. We're talking Academy Awards this Sunday here on SB Nation AM. All right, so basically the same kind of question, and we'll get to the category of actor in a leading role. Who's going to win it, and who do you think should win it?
Leading role is going to be Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, I think a lot of people have issues with Joker, but you cannot. I mean, he is really, really impressive. I mean, he makes that character. He makes that movie. You know, it's a physical transformation. It's just really impressive what he does, and I think he's never won before, so I think there's going to be kind of a make-right too with him. I would give it to Adam Driver for Marriage Story just because it's a less showy role. I mean, it's a dude going through divorce, you know, and having to, you know, kind of deal with trying to keep his kid and, you know, do a cross-country, you know, separation, a lot of emotion involved in it. But that dude's just a great actor, and I think, you know, we're going to see him again in other Oscars. But he's really good in this, and I give it to him just because it's a more dynamic role, even though it's not as showy.
I'm with you. I loved his performance. It was one of the most impactful performances I've seen. Even just to like use a sports analogy, it's almost like coming in the wrong time, being a really good player, but coming in the wrong time when somebody else might have just done something better that season. It feels like Joaquin Phoenix is the edge, but Driver may have really, really pulled something out of that movie that a lot of people probably expected or it impacted them in a better way, in a different way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's, you know, kind of use another sports analogy. I think, you know, you have a boxing duel between him and Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story. I mean, kind of there's that one scene where, you know, it goes from like just a simple conversation to like an all out war where you're just like you are emotionally floored by the time that scene ends. And that scene is nuts.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. All right, supporting role. This is like a who's who of Hollywood. Anthony Hopkins, Tom Hanks, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, and Brad Pitt. I pick a name out of a hat. I mean, I don't even know where to go with this.
Well, that's probably the most impressive category because, like, you know, every one of them is a legend in their own way. But it's Brad Pitt to lose. I mean, or win. You know, it's going to be his. I think he. There's been times where he's probably should have won an acting Oscar before. He's won a producer Oscar for 12 Years a Slave. He's one of Hollywood's greatest character actors, even though he doesn't ever get the credit for that.
Right.
And, you know, his role in Once Upon a Time is just great because it puts everything together that he does so well. It's just kind of like, you know, the cool, you know, persona of like a steely stuntman, but also the fact that like there's a real darkness within that character and like it's just under the surface and that's all performance. I mean, that's all him just kind of like showing so many levels of character there.
Actress in a leading role. I hear Renee Zellweger is the favorite. I don't know if that's true. How do you feel about that category?
She is, and I think that she's very much expected to win. I do wonder because like all four acting categories seem like they're locked. But I wonder if Renee's kind of been the favorite since like almost like last summer, you know, when festival season started. So I do wonder if she might be the most vulnerable and Scarlett Johansson kind of upsets her because she's good in Marriage Story too. But I think everybody loves Renee and I everybody doesn't love that movie as much, the Judy movie as much. But I mean that's a great performance too. So I think she's gonna win.
All right, Scarlett Johansson is nominated in both categories for leading role in supporting in Marriage Story for the leading role and then supporting role for Jojo Rabbit. She got a chance for that one. Where does that category lie?
I think that goes to Laura Dern for Marriage Story. She's so good at that divorce attorney in Marriage Story. I mean, she steals the movie in many ways. I think if she wasn't there, then I think Scarlett Johansson might have a chance, but I think Laura Dern's too good. And also, she's never won an Oscar either.
Yeah. Wow. Brian, thank you so much for helping us out. I know Sunday is a busy night, and I appreciate your time helping us out, sort out what we might see at the Oscars.
Anytime, man. Appreciate it.
You got it. Brian Truitt, USA Today on the Academy Awards. Always one of my favorite times of the year to do that. You know, every now and then we get off the sports train of touch and talk a little entertainment. It's probably the better event that we have on the calendar, especially if you are a moviegoer. All right, guys, time to talk about, yep, you know what it is. It's manscaping time. And you know what? It can hurt, but it doesn't have to be. Manscaped has designed the electric trimmer. The engineering team spent 18 months perfecting this greatest hair trimmer ever created. It just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. This third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. And millions of balls are about to be nick free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin safe technology. Accidents are finally a thing of the past. It's premium. Battery lasts up to 90 minutes. It can take a longer shave. And one of the cool features is an LED light that illuminates the area for closer, more precise precision trimming. They've also got a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And the charging stand's awesome too. It's intelligently designed. It's rapid charging powered by USB. Now, if you're listening right now, you're one of the first people to hear about this product. I want you to experience it firsthand yourself. That's why they've got this great deal at manscaped.com. 20% off the product and free shipping when you use the code SBNation at manscaped.com. That's SBNation and Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. Again, 20% off and free shipping. Use the code SBNation at manscaped.com. Back in a bit, an SBNation AM.
You're listening to SBNation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along in this hour of SB Nation Radio. Is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So there you go. Academy Awards in the XFL this weekend. Not, you know, it ain't the Super Bowl, but my God, it's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I've seen worse weekends.
That's right. That's right. Would you ever go to an Academy Awards as a fan? I think I would, too. I think it sounds kind of neat. It'd be one of those experience things. I think it'd be kind
of
neat.
Any of the award shows I would go to as a fan.
I don't know.
I mean, I grew up in La La Land, so I'm kind of a fan of entertainment stuff anyways.
Yeah.
I think I would enjoy the Emmys, the Oscars, and the Grammys.
I think I could. I think I could like it. I like the Academy Awards. I'm not the Emmys are okay. I'm okay with that. Golden Globes, I don't know much about. It seems like the same thing. But
although the only thing with the Golden Globes would be if I could have a seat at one of the tables
down
because I would be quiet.
Yeah,
I'd be a great dinner guest because I know my manners. I would only speak when spoken to, but I really would just want to be the fly on the wall.
Sure, me too.
Just kind of, eavesdrop on different conversations going on.
I would love to sit at a table and look at Tom Hanks and go, "Bosom buddies, man, how great was that? It was a hotel for women." That's so funny. That was so cool. Like you dressed up as Buffy and Hildegard. And they also knew you as Kip and Henry, Buffy and Hildy's brothers. How brilliant was that? Just to see what his reaction would be to that. Maybe he's like, "No, I embrace it. That was cool. It was a fun TV show."
From what I've read, Tom Hanks is one of the best to chat with.
Yeah.
He's very open, very personable.
I do want to remind my people, though, especially my family, who point out, and I think I've said this last year, too. My sister, who thinks this is the greatest event in the history of mankind, and she always goes, "It's my Super Bowl."
Yep.
Hold on. I never say the Super Bowl is my Academy Awards.
Well, of course.
So I just want to make that
comparison,
point. Because the two events are not equal.
Right, but this is the women's Super Bowl.
Right, but men don't say Super Bowl is their Academy Awards, so it's not the same.
Actually, I will say this. Let me amend what I say. It used to be women's Super Bowl because I don't know how many women go out and see the movies that are nominated.
Right.
I think you know what's happened, why there's such a great divide now. When I go to a theater, I want to get lost in a film or I want to see like the big explosions. The films that are normally nominated are, to me, ones that aren't worth the price of a movie ticket because I'm cheap.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, it's like if I go, it's like, no, I want to see the special effects. I want to hear the explosion. I want to just, you know, I want it to almost be 4D movie. But like a movie like Jojo Rabbit or, you know, well, 1917, that's different. That one I need to get to a theater to see. But, you know, some of these smaller movies where there's not a whole lot of action, it's more dialogue, where it's tremendous acting. That's the ones I, those are the type of movies I wait till, you know, I can rent it.
Yeah, rent it later.
Rent it later, yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Jojo Rabbit was really good. Really, it was heartwarming. And it was also sad.
But that's not a big blockbuster movie that I want to spend money on.
Ford versus Ferrari looked fantastic, and I never went to go see it. I loved Ford versus Ferrari's trailer, and I know trailers are a marketing ploy. I get it. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes the same thing you see in the trailer is not exactly the context you see it in a movie. But that looked great to me, and I like auto racing movies. I like auto racing, so I thought that was cool. And I haven't seen it yet. So maybe that's one I rent now that's available on demand.
What if it doesn't win?
Yeah,
then you probably won't see it. Then you'll
that's
be
true.
Like,
that's right.
Then it'll pop up on HBO one day, and you'll be like, oh, God, I forgot about that movie.
I did rush out to see Joker when it came out. I ran to see that one. So we shall see. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.